found out that everything about what Jesus did, everything about what he's trying to do, is to see if he can generate life. So it means that the summary of what Jesus came to do is to give us life. And the summary of what God wants to do in our life is through that life. So it means that God is limited to the amount, the measure of life that is available. He cannot walk beyond the liquidated. You know what it means for you, for money to be liquidated? For example, a sister met me and said that there is half a million in the account, but we can't transfer it. Are you seeing it now? You can't transfer, you can't withdraw. It means that cash is not liquidated. It's your money, but it's not liquid. You see, if there is no way you can transfer it to the person selling something in the market or the Okada man, and you tell the Okada man, don't worry, I have half a million. Are you getting the point? So, even though we know that in Christ, in God, this is an exact thing. But the only thing God can work with is that part of him that is already liquidated in you. Are you getting the point now? And I think it's this morning that I'm telling them, the Bible said that, he said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens. No, I'm looking for another scripture. Show me that scripture that said, according to the power that is at work in me. Show me. Ephesians what? 3:21. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 21. We are coming back to this. Okay. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly. Actually, this combination of words is like tautology. It's either you use exceeding or you use abundantly. But they use three words that can be used. Just one of them is enough. Either you use exceeding or use abundantly or use above. They said exceeding, abundantly, above. The person is trying to tell you that there is no human word that can capture what I saw in the realms. If you are really a man that God called into the ministry of revelation the way he called Paul, your number one prayer will be for utterance, because the realm has a lot of things that there is no human vocabulary that can carry it. And several times, the purpose of utterance is to bring that communication to you. Now, beyond the fact that there is an enormous strength, capacity in utterance to bring to you, to your mind, the things that God is saying, so much so that your communication is beyond human ability. Yet, that is not the end of utterance. Several times, you might not be able to capture everything, or rather, the Holy Spirit might not be able to capture everything in your trance, as big and as robust as it is. So there are several other things that is encoded in your trance, such that you can hear somebody speak, and you will start praying, but he never spoke about prayer. He has not said pray yet, but there is something about what he's saying that is making you to pray. There is something about what he's saying that is making you to repent. Are you getting what I'm saying? It means that the realm captured several things, and there is no human word enough to push them out. So what happens is that when a man opens his mouth in utterance, the Holy Spirit encodes, he suffocates the word of that man with every reality that he's trying to communicate, such that beyond the words that you spoke, things will be happening to people that they cannot explain. Are you getting the point? So that is the problem of this man here. He said, abundantly, above all that we ask or what? Think. That's another thing altogether. So there is a level that is beyond asking. There is a level that is beyond thinking. So there are things God did for you that you never even asked him for. And there are things he did for you that you never even thought you needed. If you are with me so far, say amen. Amen. Now, this is where I'm going. According to the power that worketh in you. So, this one now is the power, the presence, the Holy Spirit houses the power of God in you. But unfortunately, the presence of the Holy Spirit in you is not equal to the power at work in you. And that is why the two of us, I don't have senior Holy Spirit. I don't have senior Holy Spirit. It's the same Holy Spirit, the same size. It's the same size of the Holy Spirit. Are you getting it, my brother? If it is not true, there is no need for us to teach. If there is disparity in these fundamental foundations of our faith, the reality is the same. If it is not true, there is no reason to teach it, because it means we don't have hope of replicating whatever we see in people in our life. But the very reason why Jesus Christ said that it is necessary that I leave, so that the Holy Spirit will bring along his teaching ministry in a different mode of teaching, is because the Holy Spirit levels the playing ground. Because you can see Jesus praying when he was alive, and there are several things that will make you think that nobody can pray like this, nobody can do this. But as long as it is found in the environment of the Spirit, he levels everything. If you are with me so far, say amen. Now, the job now, or the honors now, is on the matter of application. So we bring ourselves to liquidify dimension of the realities that is already in Christ for all of us, based on how much we applied ourselves to those things by the help of the Holy Spirit. So if you apply yourself more, you have more power at work. So the work that God can do in you is dependent on the power at work. Are you getting the point? So there are people that have less power at work. They have not done something to the Christ within them to make it to be liquidified. So God comes, he is like encapsulated. So the Holy Spirit can be in your house, but he's caged. I'm just using that word, because he can be caged, but I'm just using that word. I hope you know. Now, is he in your house? Yes, but the Holy Spirit can be in your house and be very powerless. As the Bible showed us with Jesus. The Bible said that he was with them in that boat, and the boat was about to capsize. I should think that just because Jesus is in that boat with them, that automatically, are you getting the point? That they should not do anything, they should not pray, they should not fast, they should not do anything, that they are now children of God, that they now have, there is nothing to just wake up in the morning and say hallelujah, and all things will change. Satan will want you to be like that. Now, if you are like that, the problem is not just you, the problem is that you are affecting God's project, because what God wants to do is beyond you. And several times, if you will prosper in God's agenda, as my brother said, he will defeat your selfishness. The reason why several people don't want to pray the way we pray is not because they don't know that it is important, but because they are still selfish. And that's why I want to read the book of John chapter 10 verse 10 as we progress. If you are with me so far, say amen. John 10:10. Good. Look at this scripture. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. This means that, are you getting where we are going now? He said, there is no need for him to add the second one. If you have life, is it not okay? But the scripture said that the reason why he came is that they might have life and have it more abundantly. That means the exact target of God is to bring us to the overflow dimension of the life of God. Listen, it is utter selfishness for the life of God not to overflow in you. The work of God in corporate context cannot be achieved until there are vessels of light and life that God is overflowing from. The Bible said, receiving ministrations from different parts of the body. Show me Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, let's start from verse 13. If you are there together, say amen. till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Now, this perfect, are you getting where we are going? He said, we all come to perfect man. Oh, how I wish the Holy Spirit will help you to understand. So that means there is only one man. And we are men inside that one man. And there is no perfection for that man until we all. Are you getting the point? So if I'm the only one that can pray, we have not done anything. That's the point that we are trying to make. If I'm the only one that is holy, we have not done anything. Are you seeing it? If I'm the only one that is delivered, we have not done anything. Are you seeing where we are going now? If Revival Hub is the only people that can pray, we have not done anything. The purpose of God is that the life represented by the grace that He gave to us should overflow to the rest of the body of Christ. It is then that the purpose of that grace can be maximized. The resultant effect is what we are going to see here. There will be such an is it not true? The prayer we are praying is obviously beyond our need. Are you getting where we are going now? If it is for us to for Revival Hub only, why should we be praying like this? But there are people that is even against the way we are praying, that they are being sustained by our own prayers. So it doesn't matter. That's what the guy is trying to tell you. That even if Kayano sleeps in the night during prayer, he can live in the morning with the effect of our corporate prayer. Are you getting where? That thing, you did not find out that mystery of the body. Are you seeing it now? If he is the nozzle that God wants to use to shoot today, are you seeing it now? If it is the nozzle that God wants to use to shoot today, all of us can. The mystery of Christ is that He is one man. And that one man is the new man. And all of us are found organically in the new man, the heavenly man. And our operational base is in heaven. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Are you getting the point? So the implication. Please understand what I'm saying, so that after praying, if God tells you to pray, and after you prayed for long, you feel the life of God, the power of God, everything, and your situation have not changed, you should understand this thing. That even though your own have not changed, other people's own is changing. You are doing your duty to the body. And several times for God to teach you this, He will allow you to produce results for people long enough. And the same thing you are helping them to do is not working for you. Until you find out it's not about you. Because several times, what you need for your own. Should I tell you something? I found out in the context of body life, if you are supplying for people, and they are being blessed by the same thing, and you notice that you, yourself, is not being blessed, that means somewhere along the body, somebody is not doing his duty. Because God shaped the body to make the parts, the people that is part of the body, He shaped it to be unselfish. In the sense that what I have ministers to the body, but there is somebody else. Like I pray for everybody. But there is, God makes sure that there is a kind of prayer that I cannot pray for myself. Are you with me so far? If you are with me, say amen. I minister several things to you, but there are things I need that I cannot mean. If I go and do it, I will lose my calling. For example, there is a kind of business if I'm involved in, I will lose my calling. I can't do it. Not I can't do it. I won't do it. Are you getting the point? I can. Because probably I might have now start going to market, and then in the morning I will say, Chika, are you going? He say, yes, let me follow you in the bus. Oh my God. Are you seeing it now? Huh? If I do it, when we come back in the evening, who will do this one?
Are you seeing where we are going now? So if I do this one, it is somebody else's duty to do the other one. Before God, everybody is doing their quota to supply life in the body. That for you to do that, there must be an overflow. Let me finish reading this scripture before we go back to the book of John chapter. We have 30 minutes more. Till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. The reason why I went where I went is to explain to us that there is one new man. Self tell me one new man. And that one new man is Christ Jesus. We are part of the new man. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of who? Christ. Next verse. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. The next verse. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up. Are you getting the point? Grow up into him. Oh! In all things. One day we'll come back to Ephesians. Ephesians is so rich that we can teach it for 10 years and not finish it. We can teach it for 10 years and not finish. Look at this. May grow up into him. So that means the boundaries of your growth has been defined for you. In all things. That means there are several things we grow up in. Into him. Which is the head? Even Christ. This is how it happens in the spirit. Christ holds himself as the head. Are you seeing it now? Every person grows into him. When we grow into what we are supposed to be in him, in your personal context, you have attained maturity. But everything will not end. That's what the book of Hebrews told us. The book of Hebrews told us, gave us the roll call of faith, the men that walked with God. But after everything he said that they will not be complete without us. I say, Does Moses need me? Does Elijah, that great man of prayer, does he need me? Charles Finney, Charles Grandison Finney, does he need me? He doesn't need me. Are you seeing it? When you read the works of Watchman Nee, what does Watchman Nee need from people like us? But the scripture said they won't be complete without us. That is the mystery of the body that God has ordained as his instrument of administration, not just in time, even for the eternity to come. And the exact thing that God is looking for in that body is beyond what one man can produce. The only thing is that you have to be intelligent enough in spiritual things to generate and supply your own quota. 16. From whom the whole body, what? Fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. The material in you that is consistent with the supply chain of the Spirit, the supply chain of the body of Christ, is that which is sourced from Christ. Are you getting what I'm saying now? The reason why I have to say this is because just because you are part of the body of Christ doesn't mean you have something to supply. Because there is a measure of spirituality in the spirit. And your capacity to minister to the body is based on that spirituality. And that is why when you encounter the genuine body of Christ represented in a local assembly, the first thing that is tested about you is your spirituality. As God will help us, we unveil a few things, because spirituality is not in the spirit. Spirituality is a physical thing. And several times God teaches us spiritual things, spirituality, using day-to-day things. Are you getting the point? Day-to-day things. Like the way you sell your goods. Like the way you work as a POS agent. You are not with me. So let me stop there. You are being tested. Your spirituality is tested, and you are thinking you are making money. You are not making money. You just lost it. In the night, you still pray, but you come in the morning, they will test that spirituality. Because you are thinking that when they want, what it means for you to be spiritual is that you hang in a mystical realm, and then they will be checking. You know, you wake up in the morning and they test it. Are you with me? I know my message will not be pleasant, but I don't care. So when you collected tithe from people as a POS agent, are you with me? When you are competing with God in collecting tithe, your spirituality is tested. Now, I'm not saying you should stop. I'm just trying to tell you that spirituality is a physical thing. There are several times when God wants to teach you spiritual things or spiritual things, and then he wants to bring you to deeper dimensions of spirituality, he will use physical things to do it. Are you getting where I'm going now? He will use your brother that you are eating with. Several people came to stay with us in Sabo here, and they thought that they are super spiritual, that they are wonderful. And some of these people have done ministry, done many things. Some of them thought that they are liberal people, that they can give anything. You don't know yourself. You are a greedy man. You are a selfish man. Huh? Because true spirituality is tested by the body life. Are you getting where I'm going now? True spirituality. Assuming that there is no need for us to pray again, why is Apostle Edu still praying? God has anointed him. He has given him money. He has given him things. People know him everywhere. Why is he groaning like this? Because he understands that there is an unselfish measure of life that he needs to generate if the program of God within the confines of the body of Christ will keep prospering. So it's beyond him now. Are you getting the point? It is the purpose of God. Such a purpose that is so robust that several people that doesn't know that you are the one that is powering. It doesn't matter if they don't like you. It doesn't matter if they say that this prayer is, this is not the way they pray. But their Christian life is surviving because of the corporate work that God is doing in the body through what you are supplying by your overflow. Are you getting it? Because if we don't have this understanding, there is no need for us to pray more. Once we climb the realms and the anointing come, we just flow, do some things, and then we escape. And there is no need to pray. Huh? But Samuel rose up, the priest at Nayoth. He said, "Far be it from me. I will not remember you in prayer. Far be it from me. Let it be a sin." So for others, they might not pray. For us, if we don't pray, it's a sin. It's not a sin for them to just pray normal prayer. For you, if you don't come to Zion, if you don't climb heights, they will mark you wrong on that day. Every other thing you are doing is not important. Because what you are doing is supposed to supply a quota in the body of Christ. And the project, the purposes of God that runs on the life of God, supplied by priesthood. As I told you people, that priesthood is the governing factor of life in the kingdom. So if we do not generate enough priesthood to release the life that can cause for God's project in a corporate sense, for them that knew and them that don't know, then we have failed in our duty. It means that we have not understood the body life. Understanding the body life is not doing many things. People think it's a cognitive knowledge. They are trying to do in the flesh what can only be done in the spirit. The oneness, the unity of faith is in the spirit, is not in the flesh. There is no activity. If it is the activity of men, there are so many fellowships, so many organizations, and the attempt is to gather Christians together, gather pastors together. Inside that place, they are stealing. I know, because my father used to be chairman of one of them. Inside those places, they are stealing. They are killing themselves. They scheme to become... Is that what you call body of Christ? Unity is in the spirit. And for you to come in the spirit, you die severally to the flesh. And before you ever meet the person, you have supplied the person with life for long, that by the time you encounter him, it will seem as if you are a kindred. You have a kindred spirit. You know that even though I have not met this man, that I have drank of his spirit. The overflow of his secret place has sustained me for 1 year. I hope you know. That's why we are laboring. People contact us from US, from everywhere. And they say, Apostle, I survived for this 1 year because of what is happening here in Revival Home. Then you know it's not about the few hundred people that is here. There is a duty to the body according to that which every joint, what? Supplies. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. That means we have to do away with our traditional understanding of the duty of the believer in the body of Christ. The ministry, your capacity in ministry, is dependent on the authority that God accords to you. And that authority comes from life. And life comes from priesthood. That means when you come to the... You don't need to stand on this pulpit for you to have authority in this corporate setting. Are you getting the point? This is what believers have not been taught, and they think that if they don't hold the mic, you can't do ministry. Your church, assuming you have a church where you are coming from, the only reason sometimes that God is moving small in your congregation might be because of a woman or a man, a young man that is keeping the altar alive. The young man cannot explain it. He does. You will come and say, this young man, go and find work. You don't have what you are doing all the time you are praying. You don't know that the small activity that is happening in that congregation is as a result of the fact that the young man is keeping his altar alive. And because of how backsliding several congregations are, one man's altar can represent a corporate altar of a denomination. Simply because they have departed from their duty, and then God, by his mercy, have one or two people within that congregation that he has ordained to meet, to encounter. And he cannot encounter them without the business of the altar. So he converts your personal altar to a corporate altar. So when you pray, you will find out that your prayer has gone beyond your need. That there is a need in that fellowship that only you can supply. Are you getting the point now? So God comes and puts pressure on you. That pressure is beyond you. You are praying for everybody, not praying for... What I'm talking about is not praying for people's needs. No, it is praying so that God can use the life generated from your prayer to work in their life the way he wants. Because several times, what you think is people's needs and you bring it as a matter of intercession is not their need from the context of eternity. Are you getting the point? So we generate priesthood, supply life, and then the Holy Ghost, we take that life and begin to administrate it as the basis of his workings in the life of men, as the basis of his operation in a corporate sense. That power within the life will become the driving factor. Once the man that is in charge stops, once he begins to look at himself, my need, myself, my school, my husband, my wife, he will not know that the reason why your family is still living, things are still... You think things are bad in your family, you don't know anything. Wait till you stop praying. Why is Satan attacking your prayer altar? If it is bad with what you are doing now, how would it have been if you are not doing anything? The problem with people is that they are really moved by manifestation when things happen. What you don't know is that several of the things happening in your family, that it seems as if things are getting worse as you are praying, they have always been worse than it is. The only thing is that you are not seeing it. There is an eye you have when you become a man of the altar. Priesthood grants you an eye in the spirit to see things different from a normal man. Are you getting the point? Suddenly you realize that your family is in bondage. But meanwhile, you have been in that family for 20 years. You don't know how bad they are. You think, now I know you know that they are bad, but you don't believe that they are as bad as they are. But a day will come when you give yourself to priesthood enough. The teachings, the educations of priesthood within your inner man will show you so much how much your family has departed from God's template for them.
from God's purposes from them, for them. How much they have departed. It's only priesthood that can teach you. Because what God will do is that he will use you as a model. He will begin to model your life after a pattern, accurate with his purposes. As you give yourself to priesthood, you will now start comparing your life with that of the rest. Suddenly it will dawn on you that your family that looks as if it's okay, that even the best of them is being bound by Satan. It will never happen until God teaches you from priesthood. You see it? So if you think it's bad, how was he before?
Turn to your neighbor, tell your neighbor, I will pray as long as God wants me to pray. Turn to your other neighbor, tell him, I will pray as long as there is need in the body of Christ. Prayer does not die. Priesthood uplifts the people that served under it. I want to show you something quickly from the scripture, because there is a reason why God brings people to this kind of training center. First thing, he wants to shift your mind to see the way he sees. Because you will not be able to do several things, especially the way God wants it to be done, except something happens to you. If not, I've seen several young men now. They are saying, Apostle, what they are seeing is power. They want the power team. You are off. That means what they are chasing is the manifestation. What if you have the manifestation and then what? So that means we should stop. I keep saying it. If the anointing comes and then what? So you should stop. You don't know why you are here. And that's the several men of God, pastors, think that that is all. Have a big ministry, have a big church. Miracles happen in your meeting. People testify every Sunday. And then they are looking good. They speak in tongues and say that nothing is wrong with their life. And then you think everything is okay. You don't know the purpose of God. They look around and say, as long as nothing is happening to me, no matter how bad things are, no matter how bad Nigeria is, no matter how bad your family is, as the project of God, there is so much carnality that is infused in that understanding. That person has not been carried to the eternal context of God's operation. He will not labor. He will not disturb himself. Huh? And the challenge with that is that several instruments of running ministry in this context can only be generated from the natural. The things that it is natural implements. Intelligent box some things together, and I accept that there is a measure of result that you can get from there. But God result can only be gotten by God means. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in every measure of every part. Are you seeing it? So the scripture is trying to say here that an accurate corporate expression of the body of Christ is not one man of God that everybody depends on. And there is something that people is teaching now which might not be 100% correct, because people can put themselves in trouble, because who is here thinking that what this place means is that once you can do ministry, means that every believer is called to the fivefold, is called to do ministry pulpiteering. That's not what it means. First of all, I need you to know this. Self-time in life is organic. Because you will go and study it after now. Our church is a Berean church. If you are with me so far, say amen. Life is organic, first of all, the human life, but more so in this our context and in this our teaching. We speak about the life of God. Are you getting what I'm saying now? You have to go back and study more. Just
I know it's a spiritual thing, but to help your understanding, just study about what it means for something to be organic. That when we mean organic, we mean that it is organic because it involves an organism. Are you getting the point? An organism. And everything that pertains to the way an organism grows, the way it feels, if you touch it, it feels pain. If it doesn't eat, it goes down. Are you getting the point? If there is an intrusion from outside, it becomes weak. We call it sickness. Are you getting the point? That's the way we function in the body of Christ, because the body is an organ. And you, as a person, being part of that body, you are part of the body of Christ because of the life of God that is organic, that made you part of the organism. The organism is the body of Christ. Are you getting the point? And God gave you his life. And because of his life, you became part of that organism. The organism is what? The body of Christ. And for God to allow you to become part of that body, what did he do? He gave you his life. That life he gave you, he gave to everybody. And that is what, on the basis of that life, you became part of the body of Christ. That means the function of God in you, through you, to the body, has to be what? Organic. It is organic. This is why I'm saying this. Part of the reason we train people the way we train them here is that whether I'm here or not, there are several people that carry life to this meeting that has never held mic here. Are you getting the point? Somebody will be leading prayer. Another person is holding that pillar. He is the one supplying the life for all the people around him. He's like a hot spot in the spirit. Are you getting the point? That means that person is meeting up with the demand of this scripture. He said, according to that, which every joint supplies. That means that man understands that I don't need to hold a mic to supply my own quota. It means that the person is consistently doing the business of the altar, giving himself to the things that will make the life of God overflow. Listen, remember I'm coming from John chapter 10 verse 10b. Are you getting the point? Now I'm trying to tell you that you have a duty to the body of Christ, or to, when I mean the body of Christ, you might not see everybody everywhere, but at least you are seeing the people here. But I need to tell you that one of the major reasons, for example, the people following us online can pray online, is because we are praying here. You will think that there is no connection until people stop praying here. They will not know. They will not know anything. But very soon they will start feeling it. Because it is an organic connection. It is not a physical. It is an organic. So even though that you have not seen them, they have not seen you. Look at that, our sister over there. It's probably she has known us long time ago in the US and is following us praying, because there is a life that you supply. A day came and Jubilee came with life. That day you came, that's the day you came to church. The days you didn't come with life, you don't have any registration. The day you did ministry is the day you came with life. So if you come to a congregation and there are 1,000 people and only 20 of them came with life, your membership strength in the body of Christ is 20. What did I say? Are you seeing it now? So we can have a congregation of 1 million people dependent on Papa only. That is a ministry of death. The new covenant ministry, the priesthood after the order of Melchizedek. That is how Moses did priesthood with Aaron, and the people that followed them, all of them died, because what they saw, the people did not see it. Moses journeys to the mountain, and when he beholds Jehovah, his face shines. He comes back. Even the people cannot behold it. Meanwhile, the purpose of God is that he will raise a nation of priests. That means every single person there should have a capacity to behold the glory themselves. When they come out, a light, a glory emits from their life. The convergence of the corporate glory that comes from different individuals will have a cataclysmic effect on the territory. That is what we gather, and we use it and bring down Satan in lands. You come and have 11 million people in a state, and only, I called my people the other day and told them, do you think that there are up to 5,000 people in this state that is doing 2 hours night vigil every night? Do you think? Look at the way everywhere is quiet.
I told them, if you want to do bank transfer and it's not going, wait in the night that people are asleep. I said, if you want to make progress spiritually, wake up in the night, because the hotline of heaven is not busy. The hotline of heaven. As you are feeling sleepy, do you think you are the only one? Every other person. Anybody that sets his flesh, pounds himself into submission, arises in the spirit, and presses into God. Such a person will become something that others cannot become. Are you getting the point? You should learn how to level when the hotline of heaven is not busy. Are you getting the point? Everywhere is scanty in the night. You wake up. He said, I have a covenant with God that I cannot break. Oh God, quicken me so that I will come upon your name. Oh flesh, respond to the call of the spirit. I know that I'm feeling sleepy, but I need to build heavy things in the spirit. My altar collects. The flesh is alive. The weaknesses of humanity is alive. There is a superiority in the life of God that dwells in us. It overshadows us. It's a bikaizo. It's the realm between time and eternity. You stay under it like a shadow, and it cascades. When you stay there long enough, you become a man that you never think you can become. This is how men become great in God. They tarried in a place where people are afraid of walking. The Bible said there is a path that no fowl know it. There is a path, but it's not hidden to men of the secret place. Men that have intention of tarrying with God till they become over carriers of the overflows of the life of God. You need to know that path. Don't come and go. Don't visit. Stay there. Tarry. I have a body. from you. It is the mighty eternal working of the Spirit of God. Who are you? I'm bringing you to the place of light and life.
By your secret place. If you don't generate life there, things will die. The death that you see around your life, around your ministry, around your family is because there is no life that is overflowing from you.
Stop blaming people. Stop blaming God.
Overflow yet.
Some of the time there is overflow. It's too little for them to feel anything. To the headquarters of priesthood, keep me there until I become a merchant of life in the spirit. Listen.
Beyond the expression of your calling and mandate upon the face of the earth, the project of God through a life that is correct and accurate is beyond time. Listen. Even if you express your destiny fully in time and within this frame of existence, you only accomplished only but a fraction. And many times the quota, the fraction of the quota allotted to you in God's eternal purpose, is small. But as small as it is only a fraction that you can accomplish within, I don't know how long God will give you to live here. Maybe 80, 90 years. No matter how much you do, you can only accomplish a fraction of the quota allotted to you in God's eternal purpose within the time frame of 80 to 90 years. Are you getting the point? That is why the purpose of God is called eternal. But there are several things you do in time that God reckons with in eternity. Listen, the work of God around your life, though there is an expression bound up within time. But God doesn't deal with you based on time. He deals with you based on his own context. And it's only eternity that captures the context of God. His demands upon your life, both in training, both in discipleship, both in the things that you lay hold in the spirit, both in the demands of priesthood, goes beyond what he wants to do through your life. And the few expressions that can be captured within the few years that you can live upon the face of the earth, no matter how long it is, by men's counting. And that is why, several times, for us to see well, the reason why God places the much demand he's placing upon our life, he has to take us out of time. Place us in eternity by the revelations of the Spirit. Peradventure, we will see the way the Holy Ghost is seeing. And see that his government in our life transcends time and comes to eternity. And it is on this basis that our focus is in the immortal things. Immortal things of the kingdom. The things that can survive our existence on this realm. When we leave this realm, come to another realm, we'll find out that our prayer is still alive. But our car was left behind. Our house was left behind. Are you getting the point? But our transformation in our soul followed us. Our maturity in Christ followed us. It is on this basis that we ask for the immortal dimensions of God's work in your life. And I need to tell you, you can search the scriptures. You are not looking for immortal things. The scripture contains all kinds of things. You know, my brother was telling us about the full force of the word of God. He said that the full force of the word of God cannot be felt until it captures the three dimensions of time. The where is that, my man? The first one is what? The past, the present, and the future. So you see, it means that, listen, there are several things that God wants to do in and through our life, that even if we die, those things are still there. Are you getting where I'm going now? And you can search the Bible and find those things. There are several things that is also in the Bible that even though God can do it for us, the shelf life ends here. Are you getting where I'm going? Are you seeing it? So you can search the scriptures. Within the scriptures is all kinds of things. What did I say? Within the scriptures is all kinds of things. Some of them eternal, some of them time-based, some of them immortal, some of them they are about to die soon. I cannot say that several of the things they are doing is not coming from the Bible. Are you getting the point? But even in the Bible, there are things that is temporal. The Bible contains temporal things, and you can pray to God and he will release to you temporal things. But the workings of God is eternal, transcendent. And if you want to partner God in his immortal work, in his transcendent work, you have to cite the Bible for immortal things. Focus on it. And from tomorrow, I will begin to teach you the apostolicity of God's work. It takes your eye from time. When you labor,
your children enters it. That's what it's like. Several people keep till if you do something that is held up in the mortal realm, it will never die. Anybody that comes upon the face of the earth that needs to labor in that dimension must encounter you in the spirit. Up till now, we still speak about Elijah. How many years ago did Elijah live? And the Bible comes and says that Elijah is a man of light passions. You need to understand this. And because of this understanding, you will know that several things about your destiny cannot be fully expressed in one lifetime. Yet, God will be insisting that you keep investing. Keep investing. Keep investing. Keep investing. Keep investing. Because you don't know what invested might be what we disciple people in the next 200 years. You don't just know. It might be what we are doing here might be God's strategy in the next 50-100 years. Several people within your time, some might see it, some might not see it, until you finish your duty in 80-90 years and go. Suddenly a generation appears, and the only thing that is on their lips is your walk with God. Your walk with God becomes a standard for them, a model for them. Are you getting the point? Look at a man like Watchman Nee. How many people followed him on his days upon the face of the earth? The man in his death is discipling the apostolic company. Meanwhile, when he was alive, I don't know how many people listened to him. Some of them died in prisons. But when they died, many years later, 50 years later, 70 years later, 80 years later, 100 years later, his works became the discipling material of the apostolic company. It means that man labored in the mortal dimension. I want to be like that.
That is the overflow that is in that book of John chapter 10 verse 10. You should labor in such a way that what you are able to touch in God is too big for your children to finish it in their lifetime. Talk more of it. You labor so much that the fourth generation will still be living on the spiritual resource that you are able to accumulate. Is it not true? The great grandchildrens of John D. Rockefeller, They are still basking in their father's wealth. Is it not true? There is a family that is called Rothschild. How many of you have heard of them? They are the ones, several years later, they are the people that started it has gone. But they are still controlling several economies of several nations. Are you seeing it? The way they leveled into the financial sector, their children will not finish the money thing. I don't know when. I don't know when Jesus will come. I would have said it. But I know they will not finish it this year. Are you getting the point? They will not finish it in their lifetime. How do you want to level? Papa, is this my trouble? Is this my trouble? Selfish you is looking at only your trouble. And it is the thing that you are putting before you as the driving force of your prayer. If your problem is the driving force of your prayer, you can't last long in prayer. How do you want to pray like me when what is making you to pray is just your problem? Your problem cannot make you pray the way I'm praying. You are not getting my point, man. Problem cannot make a man tarry like Jesus. Several of the one part of the major reason the apostles could not pray with Jesus when he was there on Gethsemane mountains everywhere is because they have not seen things the way he's seen it.
until burdens came in their heart post Pentecost, and suddenly he landed upon them that it was Peter suddenly understood. He said, this is that. Oh, are you getting what I'm saying? He never knew that he was implicated in an eternal purpose of God. That thing God spoke about, he has been speaking about it since they have read about it, and they say, hey, the revival that is so, the things that he was not aware. So he was just living a normal life, praying, you know, give me a car, give me to another, until one day the Holy Spirit gave them an encounter at the upper room. When they came out post Pentecost, Peter sauntered to the street, and somebody had the audacity to say that they are drunk. He said, you don't know anything. That this is that which was spoken. I've entered into the reality, and I know from today henceforth I die here. This is that. Men with sights from eternity, they see with the goggles of God. The things that move them is not time based, and that is why they can't keep up until their eyes see Jesus, until the bodies of God that is flourishing through their heart become something that is a government upon the face of the earth. We keep turning. Pray for 1 minute. Lord, readjust my lenses, readjust my sight. I need to see as you have seen, so that my bodies will be aright and then my lepers will be correct. I don't want to labor like a fool, for the Bible says that the labor of a fool wearies him. He knoweth not how. You need to see so that you will know. Pray this prayer with all seriousness. When you are in a company like this, God takes your prayer serious. You cannot joke with this prayer now. The answer to this prayer, when it comes, it will even shock you. Some of you would have forgotten. For God marked today for you. This is the beginning of your days in your journey into life. Faria Tamantua, a perikai, Shaleha, Faria Tapana, a perikai, Sapatambu, Wapapatelia Tapana, a prate patapante, Sapatapakate, Yapapapa, a perikai, a patapapa. Sister, pray. This is that. You are not wasting your time. There is something in the books of eternity that is captured about you. That is what is being manifested. You are living the scrolls. Oh my God. The mortal dimensions have held you captive. And that is why you cannot leave. You want to stop. You cannot. There is something in the heart of God that is seeking expression. That is why you are here. Pray to God. Make sure you are driving this meeting to its end. It will not be good for you to be in this kind of meeting and you don't partake in the administration that God is releasing. You can't leave this meeting and struggle with the same thing God used this meeting to solve. By 9 a.m. for morning session and 5 p.m. for evening session. Remember, our cry for our building project, please, is a consistent thing. We need to raise
the first phase, we need to raise more than 200 million naira, and we're trusting God to use you and the people that is listening to us online. Please pray about it, and I know that God will tell you to support us in the name of Jesus. Let this resound in the heart of people and tell people everywhere that we are making call for this kind of support in the mighty name of Jesus.
So believe God's word came to you with accuracy and power. To connect with the ministry of God's servant, Apostle Ejude Chukwu, with unlimited access to life transforming messages, visit www.revivalhubinternational.org. Follow us on all social media platforms at Revival Hub International. For inquiries and partnerships, email us at revivalhubglobal@gmail.com.